Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all, and we're starting a new series today, and it is on spiritual discernment, how we can discern truth from error and false from true, and who are true believers and who are false believers, and all the rest, and how we can protect our lives, our spirituality, our families, and our churches from false teachers, false apostles, and so on and so forth. So today's the first in the series, and we'll be looking at some things in the little book of 1 John towards the back of your Bible. So I hope you're having a great time here. It's January the 27th in 2022, and I'm in Virginia, USA, and it is cold. It is 15 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about minus 10 Celsius, and there's snow outside. So before we get into our Bible reading and our lesson today, let's pray. Let's make this session. Let's lift it up to the Lord. Father in heaven, we ask for your wisdom, grace, and anointing on today's session of Insights for Eternity, and we ask that your blessings will rest upon your word. Eyes will be opened, ears will be opened, and the glory of God will shine down upon this broadcast in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so there are a number of tests of faith in the book of 1 John. 1 John was written to a group of people who were being severely tested by false doctrine. And there was a lot of things going on. First of all, as we find in Revelation, there was a group called the Nicolaitans, and the Nicolaitans believed in sex for salvation, which was rather weird and very wicked. And so we find out about that. There was a lot of hatred going on, and that was against the gospel. Hatred is always against the gospel. So that was happening. And also there was a group called Gnostics. Now, the Gnostics believed in salvation through knowledge, that you needed to know certain secret spiritual things if you were to get to heaven. And you didn't actually contact God. You contacted a spirit who was above you, who contacted a spirit above that spirit, and on through a great chain of these things called demiurges until you finally got to the one true God. And this was a horrible belief. It persisted for hundreds of years, and 1 John's mainly written against these Gnostics, but it's also written to help people know who are the true and false believers, who is a real Christian and who is a false Christian. So let's look at some of the tests. There's five tests: faith in Jesus, fellowship with the saints, the presence of agape love, the presence of a righteous lifestyle, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And there's three things that people had to believe about Jesus. And you want to write these down. Faith in Jesus requires that to believe that he's come in the flesh, that he is the Son of God, and that he is the Christ. So these are the three beliefs that a Christian has to have about Jesus: that he's come in the flesh, he's Son of God, and he is the Christ. And also, later on in we find Paul's writings, it says we have to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that he's Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he's risen from the dead, and that's Romans 10. So there's five key beliefs about Jesus in the Bible: come in the flesh, he's the Son of God, that he's the Christ, that he is Lord, and that he is risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father, and of course that he is going to return in power and glory. So that's how we get to our basic creeds, our basic beliefs about Christianity, is we start listing what's the essentials, what have you got to believe if you are to be saved, if you are to be a true and loving child of God. So now let's start looking at this, and we'll start with fairly obviously, why do we need any spiritual discernment at all? Why can't we just trust people? And if we've lived any length of time, you'll know that There are some people you cannot trust, and that includes in spiritual matters. You can't trust everybody that's making a spiritual claim. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into this world. So we can't believe every spiritual person or any spirit. So if you have a dream, or you have a spirit speaks to you in a dream, you don't need to believe that spirit. You need to test it. And same with spiritual people. You don't need to believe every spiritual person that comes along. You need to test them. For there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world. And then 1 John 2, 18 and 19. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might become plain that they all are not of us. So he's talking about the Antichrist. Of course, we know in Revelation there's the Antichrist, it's the beast and the false prophet and all these things. And that's the capital A Antichrist. But there are many little Antichrists, small a Antichrist. What's Antichrist mean? It means instead of or against Christ. So it's someone saying they're Christ when they are not Christ, claiming to be God when they are not God. Anti can mean instead of. So this person is placed in someone's life instead of Jesus Christ. And we know at the end, people will have to take the mark of the beast, the 666, and this person will set up a big idol of himself, and he will place himself in people's hearts, minds, and loyalty as if he was Christ. He will demand the allegiance that we should be giving to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and everyone will have to bow down before this massive idol and accept the mark of the beast. And also, it means anti as in against. So not only is he setting himself instead of Christ, he's setting himself against Christ and against Christians, and we find the Antichrist persecutes Christians. He's against Christians in every sense of the word and wants to destroy them, wants to destroy the church, and there are many, many martyrs in the last days. And so the Apostle John is saying, when you see all these false teachers, know that the end is coming, that the end of that present age that was going on at that time, there's lots of persecution. And so these false teachers rejected the gospel. As a result of rejecting the gospel, they are divisive and they go out from the established church. They reject the Apostle Paul and the apostles of that time and the Apostle John. And they reject the apostolic leadership of Peter and Matthew and all the others. And they've gone out to set up their own organization, set up their own churches. They've split off, they're angry, they're divisive, and they say, no, we've got the superior doctrine, we are running around doing this, that, or the other, we should be the ones that you follow and belong to. They want to take away disciples, as Paul says in Acts 20, there are wolves coming in among the sheep wanting to take away disciples after themselves for the ego hit, for the money, and for whatever else they can do with the people they drag behind them. So we need to be discerning. When you are listening to a preacher, check, is this preacher really teaching from the Bible, or they've just got a big, strong personality and are they making up all these claims and they're not true at all? Now, one of the things you can do is you can also test them against reality, because they often say things that are scientifically untrue or against common sense or financially untrue. And if a person's constantly saying things that are rubbish, that just aren't true at all in any way, sense, or form, you know they're a false teacher, that they enjoy lying, they enjoy deceiving people, and they don't care about what they say as long as it has the intended results. And they make claims that cannot be substantiated. For instance, let's look at what I mean by that. If I take out my ballpoint pen and say, this is a ballpoint pen, then the person I'm talking to can pick it up and check it out and write with it and say, yes, that is a ballpoint pen. So that's a claim that can be substantiated. It can be tested one way or the other. But a false teacher doesn't do that. They make a claim like this. I had a dream last night, and in that dream I went up to heaven and I was met by a flying pink elephant. And the flying pink elephant told me that I'm the Messiah, and therefore, because I'm the Messiah, you owe me 20% of your income. So you cannot test that this person had a dream last night. There's no way to check that out, like you could check a ballpoint pen. There's no way to check that they went to heaven in their dream. There's no way to check that they met a flying pink elephant in heaven in their dream, and that their flying pink elephant told them that the Messiah. How can you say that because they had this visionary experience that they can take 20% of your income? That's all made up. It's all fantastic stuff. It's all just a fantasy, a con, to get your money out of your pocket. And so that is something you have to watch out for these false teachers. They are full of lies. They are full of deception. They're greedy. They're immoral. And there's lots of them around out there on TV, on the internet, on YouTube, wherever. You have to be very careful about what you listen to on Facebook or whatever social media you use. You have to be wise and discerning. That's why it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. You have the right to test spiritual claims that are being made, and you should do that because it's absolutely essential for your spiritual health. That's why it's there in the Bible. And so the next thing we want to look at in today is the claims about Jesus that we have to check out. When someone talks about Jesus, who are they talking about? Are they talking about the Jesus of the Bible or a Jesus that they have made up in the image of themselves or their own culture? Now, first thing we have to do is we have to have faith in Jesus if we're going to be a true Christian. I think everyone listening to this broadcast believes that you should believe in Jesus if you're going to be a true Christian. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5 and verses 10 to 12. We're all in the book of 1 John throughout today's lesson. 1 John chapter 5 verses 10 to 12. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So that's saying very clearly that you've got to believe in Jesus to have eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. If you do have the Son, you do have eternal life. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So the atheists, the New Agers, the idol worshippers, people from religions that don't believe in Jesus Christ, they do not have eternal life. They may have some wisdom, they may be nice people, they may be friendly, but they lack eternal life because they have not believed in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. And what God has said about Jesus is that he is his beloved Son. That's the testimony. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the beloved Son of God, then you are not saved. You do not have eternal life because you're making God out to be a liar. God has said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You need to believe that. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Otherwise, you do not have eternal life, and you're jabbing the Creator in the eyes and saying that you don't believe what he has said about his only Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And in 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So, what's this telling us? There's two things we've got to do as a Christian. Firstly, you have to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. Secondly, you have to love one another. Because if you believe Jesus, what's Jesus telling you to do? He says, love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment. So if you believe in Jesus, you don't just believe that he existed, you also believe that you have to obey his commandment. His commandment is to love one another. So these are the two essential things of being a Christian. Firstly, believe in Jesus. Secondly, love one another, and then you'll be a true Christian. And we'll look at that in much greater depth in the next study as we do that. But in this study, we're just looking at what we have to believe and in order to be a true and righteous Christian. And we have to believe in Jesus, and we have to believe in Jesus' commandments, especially the commandment to love one another. Now, we've got three more things to get through in the next few minutes. Next thing is we have to believe that Jesus came in the flesh. This is 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So the Gnostics did not believe that Jesus came in the flesh. Why didn't they believe that? They thought that flesh was bad and spirit was good. So God, Jesus, couldn't possibly come in the flesh. The flesh was just a disguise. It wasn't real human flesh. It was some kind of disguise. It was a trap for us to hide his divinity. And Jesus didn't really come in a human body conceived of the Virgin Mary, etc., etc. And so that's what the Gnostics believe. They say, no, Jesus did not come in the flesh. He just came as a spirit and appeared to have a human body. That's what we call Docetism. He appeared to have a human body from the word dokeo, to appear or to manifest. So the Gnostics were Docetists, that Jesus only appeared to have a human body. It wasn't really a human body because human bodies are sinful, and Jesus could not have come in the appearance of sinful flesh. Well, in fact, he did, and that's confirmed in other places in the New Testament as well. So one of the things we have to believe is Jesus is fully God and fully man. He was God. He's the fullness of deity in bodily form. Colossians 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9 says that Jesus is the fullness of deity in bodily form. He came in the flesh. And a lot of other religions will try and get rid of that because it's offensive to their belief system to think that the divine reality of God Almighty could have come in. And he says, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. So if you're testing a demon, if someone's manifesting a demon, a religious demon of some sort, and they're speaking in the spirit or speaking from that spirit, ask the spirit, do you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? And the spirit says, no, he didn't. Then that's a false spirit. You can test the demon, you can test the spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't mind being tested. So if it's the Holy Spirit and you say, does Jesus Christ come in the flesh? The Holy Spirit will say, yes, absolutely. And then you will know that that spirit is speaking the truth. That's the Holy Spirit, and it's a valid spiritual experience that's happening there. So you can test spiritual beings with the question, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And the evil spirits will always deny that, and the Holy Spirit will always affirm that. So that's 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. I'll read it again. By this you know the Spirit of God. That's to find out how the Spirit of God, let's check, is this the Spirit of God or not? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So if the Spirit is confessing that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that's the Spirit of God. You've got the right spirit there. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So when you're testing a spirit and it says, no, Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, it's not from God. And not only is it a bad spirit, it's an antichrist spirit. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. And we just look around at the circumstances of the world. We totally agree with that. And the next test, a spiritual test that we need to have, is Jesus, the Son of God. 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So if you are confessing that, it's just not you're ticking it on a piece of paper. Yeah, Jesus is the Son of God. You're confessing it out loud. You're saying, this is what I believe. When you confess something, it's coming from your heart, not just from your head. You're saying, this is my belief in life, that Jesus is the Son of God. I stand for this. I stand up and I confess out loud to my friends and family that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe that with my whole being. That's what confessing there means, homologio, to speak it up with your whole being and to really make it manifest. I confess this. This is what I stand up. I hold my right hand up and I say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so a person who can stand up and say that in the face of persecution, torture, ridicule, and they keep saying, Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is the Son of God, that person is saved. That person's a believer because they're standing up and saying something publicly that just brings ridicule upon them from the world and from the devil, who is terrified of Jesus, the Son of God. Now, we know that we have a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they are all one God, but they each represent a different aspect of God. So it's like we have up and down, side to side, in and out, three dimensions of the one space. So up and down perhaps would be the Father. In and out might be the Holy Spirit. Side to side might be Jesus. So we have three dimensions of God. We have three ways in which we move in God, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we only have one God. And there is one God who is the creator of heavens and earth and all things in. But he is a triune God. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the same time. So having a correct understanding of the Trinity, that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. He's not just another form of God, or he's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a rabbi. He is the very only begotten Son of God, and he was all things were made by him and through him and for him, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. So he's the Son of God who inherits the universe, and he comes into that vast inheritance. And so you need to believe that, and you need to teach that in your teaching. And if you're a pastor, make sure that you emphasize that Jesus is the Son of God and that your congregation knows that deeply and well. The last thing we have to believe about Jesus is that Jesus is the Christ. It says here, 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So what does it mean that Jesus is the Christ? It means he's the spiritually anointed one of God. Christ is the same word as Messiah, and it means anointed one, someone that has chrism, which is anointing, that he is the anointed one of God and that he baptizes in the Holy Ghost. He has the anointing and he dispenses in the anointing. You are baptized in the Holy Ghost through the Son. Jesus has ascended into the heavenly realms. He's at the right hand of the Father. He is the anointed of the Lord, and he pours out the anointing upon us. And he was the Christ, and that was revealed, first of all, to the woman at the well. She says, I know the Messiah's coming, and Jesus says, I who speak to you am he. So he revealed his Messiahship. He said he's the Messiah. He was the Messiah. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He was crucified, dead, and buried, and he was the Redeemer of the world. We are saved through him, and through him we receive the Holy Spirit, which is the anointing. He is the anointed one. He passes the anointing on to us. And so Jesus, being the Christ, is Lord and Christ. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. He rules over our life and gives us commandments. But upon that also, he is the anointed one who passes on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He places the Holy Spirit in us and upon us. So when you become a Christian, Jesus, who is the Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father, imparts the Holy Ghost into you, and you produce the things of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, and self-control. You can't get those things from the library. You can't get those things in the supermarket. You can't get them from a book or a bottle. Love, joy, and peace have to be imparted into your life through the Holy Ghost. You can't dig them out of the ground. All those things like wisdom have to be given to you from heaven, and they are imparted through the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is the Christ. He is the one who imparts the anointing. He also puts the anointing upon you, like he told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit had come upon them. They'd already received the Holy Spirit in their hearts and lives. We found that earlier in the Gospels. And now they wait in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them as tongues of fire to give them power and ministry and make them good at proclamation. So you need both. You need that relationship with Jesus where you confess he's the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the Redeemer of Israel, he's the Redeemer of your life, and he's the one who sets the Holy Spirit in you and upon you. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, then you are saved and you are going to heaven. But the Holy Spirit upon you is very important as well, so that you can do the work of God in power and in strength. And it's very important that you know that aspect of Jesus being the Christ, Jesus being your Savior, but also the one that puts the Holy Spirit upon you as a seal and as a deposit. So receive the Holy Ghost in power, and ask for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon you. It promises in Luke 11 to 13 that God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Ask for more and more of the grace of God, and Jesus will be both Lord and Christ to you, and you will move in spiritual power because of him. Okay, to summarize this in the next couple of minutes left in this broadcast, spiritual discernment is a very important part of your Christian life. You cannot just go around being gullible, because the naive proceed and they suffer for their mistakes. People get caught up in cults. People get caught up following prosperity gospel or televangelists. They get deceived and they get ripped off. The price of spiritual deception is very great. It can include ruined relationships, poverty, and some people are even so far trapped that they end up going to hell because they believe the wrong things about God. So what are the five things that you have to test? And we'll look at some of these later in the next broadcast. Faith in Jesus, that he has come in the flesh, that he's the Son of God, and that he's the Christ. And then we find out you have to believe in the fellowship of the saints. You have to manifest agape love. You have to have a righteous life, and you have to have the Holy Spirit. So they're the things that you have to know and believe if you are to not fall into spiritual sin. Do not think that you can worship idols, do juju or magic, and be in a good relationship with God. You need to have a life that is spiritually pure, and you need to be able to discern right from wrong spiritually, and you need to ask God to open your eyes to know false from true in the spiritual realms. God will give you the Holy Spirit. He will give you discernment and wisdom to know what is right and what is wrong. I remember when I was a new Christian, I was given this tract by a cult group. I think it was Jehovah's Witnesses. And I immediately knew it was poisonous, that it was wrong. Holy Spirit said, throw that away right now. And I did, because God was telling to me, and I knew something about it was creepy, something was wrong, and I immediately threw it in the bin at the railway station. God will testify to you that some teachings are false, and you will know it in your heart and your mind. But also you need to switch your brain on. You just can't throw your brain away when you're being a Christian. You need to test. And what are the tests about Jesus that we've gone through today? Firstly, you need to believe that Jesus has come in the flesh, that his flesh was real, that Jesus is fully God, and Jesus is fully man. Next, you need to believe that Jesus has authority as the Son of God. He is the true Son of God. You need to believe in the Trinity, and that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to return in power, and that he is the Son of God. And thirdly, you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the anointed Messiah of the Jewish people and of all, that he brings salvation to us, and that he will impart the Holy Spirit into you as a deposit of your salvation. They're the three things we're going to look at today. I hope you took some notes as we're going through this. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all and keep you in the faith. See you all next week. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.